Welcome back to the Skits and Giggles podcast. I am Pascal, chief instigator of the show and your host. I'm joined by my co-host and our resident engineer, the yin to my yang, the transfer to my special stage. Bryson, how's it going today, buddy?
Hi, Pascal. I'm going good. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. Today, we are joined by Dominic Bossart. How is it going today? Welcome to the Skits and Giggles podcast.
Hi, Pascal and Bryson. I'm really good. And you?
Oh, yeah, we're good. We're looking forward to this conversation. Of course, we have to thank you for doing this in English. It means a lot to us. And yeah. But before we get to our conversation, let's briefly do our spiel with the social and where you guys can find more info about the Skits and Giggles podcast. We are currently most active on Instagram, where you can skid right into our DMs and follow along at Skits and Giggles. And you can find our website with all the relevant links and info under the URL skitsandgiggles.com. Also, if you guys like what we're doing and want to know what's up, just give us a follow on Spotify. Hit subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you listen to great podcasts. Finally, sharing episodes you enjoy on your socials or a heartfelt 5-star rating on your favorite platform goes a long way in helping us reach more cool people like you. Right on, let's get back to Dominic. We have a metric ton of stuff to talk about today. But before we do that, let's just hear a little bit about your last weekend. You were also enjoying some time at the Enduro Teams in Davos. How was your weekend?
Yes, it was super nice. I really liked the trails. A lot of waiting, but it was super good weather. And the trails, I really love Davos, riding these trails. And I had a really good time with my friends and my team. And yeah.
All right. Yeah, I mean it's one of my favorite events on the calendar, and it's always a good time. And I think this year was the perfect sweet spot. Right. So we started asking our guests the question just to break the ice a little bit, to tell us what kind of mountain bikers they are. Just to get us started and, get a little feeling of who we are talking to.
So I started with cross country really early, and then it goes later a bit boring, and I start with dirt jumping and slopestyle, doing some downhill races like Red Bull Trail Fox or IXS Cup. And yeah, actually now I'm older and start riding enduro bikes, and I'm not really a good rider, but I really love riding bikes, and yeah.
And you have a good time, and that's what matters.
You have a good time, and see the world with the bike, yeah.
All right, but biking has not only been about riding a bike for you. There's always been photography that has been kind of coming along with you riding a bike. So why don't we talk a little bit about that? So do you want to maybe tell us how you got into photography and taking photos from biking?
Yes. Photography, I do it a really long time and start taking photos of all things, landscaping, friends, family. And because I never was a really good rider and drop out really early in the contest, so I started taking photos of my friends during the finals, and yeah, they really, really love my photos, and that's how it comes. And the photography goes bigger and bigger, and biking go more back, and yeah, I'm better in taking photos than on the bike.
Well, I'd say the photography, it turned out to be an equally valuable role, because, you know, in some ways, maybe your photos helped your friends kind of get to where they wanted to be with their riding. Maybe it got them recognized for a sponsorship, or maybe it got them recognized in some other way that motivated them to boost their riding up. So Maybe, what do you think about that?
Yes, sure. They help a lot of riders, like maybe Lucas or Chris. If they have good photos, then they can post it, and they have a nice social media account and sponsor loving it if they have a good content on their social media. And I think photography helps a lot this riders. And yeah, and I really love to be on these events and taking photos of my friends and good riders. Yeah.
Okay, but you know, I think we need to put it in perspective, because you've not only been taking photos of your friends and posting them on social media. It was a bit more than that. So why don't we talk a little bit about, you know, how you got, you know, let's say discovered, and how your photos got into this mountain biking world, and how people saw them.
On a day, Trail Devils, they asked me if I can help them on Rocketeer and shooting photos for him, and also on a day, weekend later on bike days. And this photos going really crazy under the riders, like big names like Tommy Chi or Nikolai. They really love this, and yeah, I start doing this more professional, going to this contests, and yeah, and my name goes bigger and bigger, and I got more and more opportunities to visit bigger events, and yeah, it opened a lot of doors in my life, and it's actually the point who I am now.
Oh, nice. So maybe in looking back, so what were the kind of the most interesting events you got to travel to?
I had the opportunity to join Ramon Hunziker's team on Rampage, to be a part of his shape crew and taking photos for him. And I think this is definitely one of my biggest events ever was. And yeah, I really, really proud of it to getting there and had the chance to be a part of Rampage.
Well, how did it actually happen? I mean, you just say it's like, oh yeah, I was in the digging crew for Ramon, and yeah, I went to Rampage, no big deal. But how did it actually happen? I'm sure it was not only because of your photos.
Yeah, Ramon have also his sponsor, and they sponsoring this trip, and for the whole crew. And then Ramon had to work and give them something back, and doing stories or blogs and stuff and posting, and I had time, and he asking me he liked my photos and if I want to join him, and yeah, then I got there and doing for him these photos, and also for other ones, and doing blogs for Red Bull Switzerland or Trail Devils, and a lot of sponsoring things for Ramon, and yeah.
So who was it that approached you from Ramon's team and invited you to be part of the crew?
Because I shoot bike days, and this contest is also organizing by Flying Metal Crew and shooting on Rocketeer, and they see my photos and working with my photos, and yeah, and they know that I will do a good job for them, and they asking me, and in this time I don't had really a job by doing a time out and do what I love and spend time on the bike and behind the camera and do what I want. And then they asking me, and I follow them to Utah.
And we have this famous question on the Skits and Giggles podcast. It's the Rampage perspective of people who are not necessarily really into really deep into mountain biking and they see Rampage, say on NBC or now on the Red Bull feed, and you know, they're like, oh my God, these people are insane. But in reality, you know, when you train and you are professional and you are having your goal and you're taking steps to achieve the goal of going to Rampage, you basically are acclimatized to doing things at this magnitude. Maybe not at that stage, but you're working your way up there and you have that mindset. As the only person that we've interviewed so far that has been to Rampage, what's your perspective on just the atmosphere there?
First of all, it's way more crazier than you see it on the picture and in the videos. It's way more high and it's way more steeper than you can see on all these photos. And on the first day, I walk on my knees and feet, walking up and go be really, really down on the ground to don't fall down on these ridges. And it was super scared just walking there. But yeah, big respect for all the riders, because after a day of shaping, I can't do anything, and these riders shape the whole day and have to train in the evening and riding a contest later on maybe the earliest courses on the world. And yeah, I don't know how they figured out this, but I was done after every single evening. And yeah, but the atmosphere is super nice. It's a super nice landscape there. There's special atmosphere. It's so different to Europe. And on the day is super hot, in the evening colder. And the atmosphere under the riders is super cool. And everyone helps together and you shape together and have a good time. And I really, really like this event.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that's what a lot of people, you know, certainly the ones that are complaining about the Rampage view, they forget is like that the riders, they're not only throwing themselves off cliffs, they're also building their own courses, and they do that for 10 days or 14 days or however much it is. And I know the regulations and the rules have changed a little bit over the years, so basically now they, you know, you're not allowed to use any power tools, so you have to shovel and picks and sandbags and stuff like that. And so it's really hard, right? And you have to work all day, and then you have to practice, you have to try out your jumps. Is the landing right? Is the takeoff right? Even if you have a little bit of an understanding of what's actually going on this event, it's still quite crazy to think about the magnitude of an event like that. So,
and that's why they made a 2 days break or 1 day break before the contest.
Yeah,
because a lot of riders was too tired to ride and crashed really bad, and that's why they do now one or 2 days break before contest.
Okay, which year was that?
2015.
Okay. Now, is that the year where Aggie crashed so hard, or was that... No, that was the year after, I believe.
No, Paul Bass crashed.
Oh, right. That was that year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I stand right on the side of his crash. It was not nice.
But it would be very wrong of me to have you on this podcast and not ask about your trip to Canada. So I've also been to Big White, and you were at the Big White Invitational with Hoopy.
Yes.
What's your take on the Canadian flavor of dirt jump and slopestyle contests?
Oh, a lot of mosquitoes. I follow Lucas doing a story also for Red Bull, and we go there for 6 days. We spend 4 days on Big White. He riding the contest, shooting, and then after contest we drive to Kamloops, riding a full day Kamloops, and driving in the night over to Whistler, spend one day in Whistler, and sleep one more night and go back to the airport and flying home. So I don't see much, but yeah, Kamloops and Whistler was definitely my favorite, because on Big White I can't ride this slopestyle course and don't have time to spend time in the bike park. But really like Kamloops, and even Whistler, it was a big dream coming true to riding on these places and see the bears and yeah.
Let's talk kind of future wishes. You have some places that you also want to shoot, or maybe in collaboration with some more riders, Hoopy or other people in other countries?
Yeah, definitely want to go to Crankworx Whistler and to Crankworx New Zealand. But I don't know if that happened, but we will see. But these two points who are open on my to-do list.
Well, I definitely wish you make it out there, because we need to get some new wallpapers in the back of the Trail Devils website.
Yes, I have some really good new ones, but they don't change it.
All right, maybe they're listening and they'll get a little bit of motivation here, since we gave them a shout out, right?
Yeah, but I don't tell them, because maybe they do from other photographers.
Some yeah, sure, there's lots of other ones. Eh?
So I like to have my pictures there. So.
So you're not doing so many photography projects these days?
At the moment, I do more skateboarding photos.
Really? Okay.
Yes. I don't know how this happened, but I'm at the moment I make more money with skateboarding photos.
All right.
And yeah. Actually, I'm working 100% and doing like doing as a hobby, and doing just these jobs who I want and have time for, and don't be really active on photography, and just doing what I have fun and what I want to do. And there's always some photography jobs, but nothing big at the moment.
Well, and I mean, I guess in terms of the prospects of the sport, you know, skateboarding is a pretty well positioned with, you know, being in the Olympics. Well, recently it's been an exhibition event. It's going to be a real event next time around. So yeah, maybe there's some interesting new projects.
Maybe, hopefully.
Yeah.
New challenges.
Yeah. let's change tack a little bit. You know, I want to talk a little bit about, well, not only a little bit, I want to talk about the your work with Surrey Trails and the jump park, most importantly. So maybe can you talk a little bit about, you know, what is your role in all of this, and how did it come about?
So I'm mostly responsible of the jump park in Seal City at Surrey Trails. And my role is there to manage the jump park. And how it comes, how I say it, photography opened me a lot of doors and gave me a lot of opportunities. And yeah, on I think 2015, they asking me if I want to manage the jump park, and I thinking that's a good chance and a good experience to learn something and make something good for the community. And then I say yes and start managing the jump park. And yeah, one of my jobs is just taking care that all is in a good shape and looking good and people are happy and the park mostly of the time open and and organizing the Three Dot contest.
Okay. The before we get to the dirt contest, I mean, is the jump park, is that an open park, or is that you need to be a member of some club?
Mm. It's a private park from Surrey Trails, so you have to be a member because of the insurance problems. Have to be a member of Surrey Trails to ride in there. But at the moment, we figure it out with a one-day entrance. So if you pay, and you can come for one day. And so everyone is welcome there. And we communicate all the open times on WhatsApp. And if you are in the community, you know when it's open. And
the dirt jump contest in Zurich, it only just went down a couple of weeks ago, and it was actually a doubleheader, so with a bronze and a silver event. Talk to us a little bit about the history of the contest.
Surrey Trails built the jump park with the vision to support the dirt jump sport in Switzerland to be one of the best nation in the world, like in cross country or that. And one point is the jump park, who are a really good training place for the riders. And another big point to go to this goal is this event to give the riders the opportunity to ride contests, to give them a platform to fight with the world best riders and get some World Cup points. And it's a really, really important point to go on the way to this goal, to be one of the best nations in the world in this sport. And
absolutely. And I mean, it's an emerging theme in a number of our conversations. Of course, cross country is most well known for its development programs and development steps, etc. But what are you doing with the Surrey Trails and the jump park on top of the contest? For let's say juniors and youth dirt jumpers, are there any courses that you can book, or how does that work?
We don't have courses now, but we have really good riders like Lucas or Jan or Chris, and they train there. And if there's someone comes like younger talents, they help them. Even Lucas got so many help from Chris. Chris will put him to contest, bring him to training places, to the jumps, and train Lucas a lot. And this is what Lucas do now with younger kids, to teach them and help them and teach them how to try a backflip or whatever. We want to start give courses, but at the moment it's more like we help together without official courses. So
yeah, and of course I think we have to mention that, like, one of the key exports, let's say, of the Zurich Jump Park is of course Lucas Hupot, former guest and slope style superstar at this stage, a top 10 rider in the world. So I guess at least partially mission accomplished. But I think, as you say, there's a number of other riders that are coming behind Lucas or that have come next to Lucas. And, that whole project of having, this facility for young riders, and that attracts, of course, people from not only from Zurich, but also from other parts of the country. They all come together. They push each other, they inspire each other, they progress the sport, they learn new tricks. I think that's an important role, and also an important part of what the John Park does. Or as they say, build it and they will come.
Yeah, all these rules, like Holocaust, have a really, really big role in this, to go to this goal. Even if you watch what make like Roger Federer in Switzerland with tennis, how many kids learning tennis and start playing tennis, or how many people start riding cross country because of Nino Schurter. And yeah, there are big names, and they have to push the younger ones to go to the top and learning all these tricks and train and learning how hard it is to be one of the best. And there's a really, really big rule that Lucas have now.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Right.
So if you look back, so now that's 2015, I believe, was the first contest. So what was the most memorable experience of those contests? What are you really proud of?
Really proud of that we go from year to year bigger and bigger. So actually, we start really small, and now we have had, for the first time, we had a FMB silver event, even with a live stream. So
wow, yeah.
And yeah, it's cool to see how he grow up and how many people help and support this vision of Zurich Trails with the jump park and the contest. And without all these volunteer helpers, they would not be possible to manage event like this in this size. And I'm really proud of it that we have so many volunteer helpers who figured out this contest.
What does the future hold for the jump park? Is it going to grow, or what are the plans for the future?
The plans to stay on the same level. healed the park in the shape, and hopefully we have every year a contest in this size, and maybe if possible going bigger and bigger, and if not, hopefully we stay on the same level right now. And it would be cool if we have more people who start riding dirt jumping, because it was really popular, and now this enduro sport came up, and a lot of the young ones spend a lot of time on jump lines or on the enduro bike and doing these tricks on the enduro bikes, and not so much on a real dirt jump bike. And it would be cool to have more dirt jump riders.
But if you compare it with, let's say, the Skills Park in Winterthur, of course, they have a number of other things in terms of dirt jumping and or other action sports, so like an airbag. I saw recently you invested into a new ramp to have a higher speed for the mulch jump. You have a mulch jump, but is there any plans to offer additional infrastructure that would help the riders progress even more?
I think we have a really good park and a really good infrastructure now, and I know this wooden roll-in, we maybe have to build it new in a few years or something, and maybe we change the lines then. And the only thing what we want to do is to do the lines perfect or better than it's now. And I'm lucky if we have the park the whole year in a good shape and everything is rideable. And yeah, but we don't have plans at the moment for bigger changes. Maybe we do add a quarter pipe or something, but at the moment, even you need always a building permit if you want to change bigger things. But you have now so many options to ride, And the jump arc have a lot. You have step down, you have a mulch jump, you have different sizes of jumps, you have hip jumps and quarter to bank and a big skate park on the other side and a big pump track there. There's so many there and just have to improve the park we have and healing in a good shape.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's the goal, yeah. And biggest goal is definitely to push the kids and going to be one of the best nation in dirt jump slopestyle.
Yeah, speaking of bringing up more dirt jumpers, I also noticed that there's a lot more facilities going up. So not only speaking about like pump tracks, which are popping up everywhere, but also some of the Zuri jumpers also going to the Panda Park. Some of them are going to the bike park Oberrieden. And then there's of course the winter skill the winter tour skills park, and and NT Dirt, which is also just in like Gladbrook, I believe. So is there a little bit of maybe a pressure to keep the Zurich Jump Park in a particular way that differentiates you from those other parks in the neighborhood or in the region? Or is there more of like a camaraderie, like, you know, you build your style, we build our style, then the riders have an option to choose if they want to hit just jump flow lines or if they want to practice the big ramps or mulch? What's your perspective on the other parks in the region?
I think it's really cool if you have different types of parks. You like anti-dirts, they have really trail style jumps who are really technical and not really trickable or super hard to trick it. And then we have more like dirt jumps if you can train tricks and learning tricks and yeah, like also like a skills park with the airbag and skate park. You can train on this infrastructure, train different stuff or different tricks and or different riding styles. And I really like it in Switzerland. We have so many different types of parks. So, and that's why we don't really want to change the jump park, because we have so many other options if we can go to train.
And coming back to the bronze and the silver event titles for the jump park during bike days.
Cycle week.
Sorry, during cycle week. The name has changed. Zurich Cycle Week. So previously it was just a bronze event, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. And so now you have a double header, or you had a double header. You had a Saturday bronze and the Sunday silver event. I just want to, before I go any further to that, I want to do a jargon check. For all those listeners out there who don't understand what we're talking about between bronze and silver. Yes, of course, there's a, you know, the well-known classification, you know, in terms of like Olympics where you have bronze, silver, gold. But in terms of FMB, which is the... actually, maybe you can tell us, Dominic, what is the FMB and what is the difference between bronze, silver, gold, and diamond? Or is it platinum?
FMB is like the, how I say, the accommodation behind the world tour. They made all the rules, they set like the prize money, and they have some different size of events, like FMB silver or bronze or gold or diamond. Like Crankworx is FMB diamond, and Swatroke there was FMB gold, and bronze is the smallest one you can have. And they manage the whole series and give the riders the points, and the riders can order a license and winning these points in the year. And at the end you have a have a list of the riders, which one made the most of the points and which one less points, and have this ranking.
So you have your bronze and your silver at the Zurich Jump Park, and in order to arrive into the bronze, a jumper needs to have 0 points prior, and then in order for them to compete in the next day's silver, they have to accumulate enough points to reach a silver level. Is that correct?
Yes. If you higher the goals with the contest, you have more rules from the F&B to which riders can ride this contest. And one of the biggest goals on the Zurich Dirt Contest is to give every single rider who want to ride a contest, give them a starting place. And we had so many that we decided to make on Saturday a bronze event, and you can qualify for the silver on Sunday, because the good riders they are directly in there, and the rider with less points they fall out and can't start, and yeah, that's something was for me and really important that we can give every one who wants to ride, give aces for this contest. And
oh, wow, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's why we're doing two contests on one weekend.
But there's actually a lot of opportunities for dirt jumpers in Switzerland through the season. Just this past weekend, I was at Hallovelo in Bern, and the Flying Metal crew had a single jump set up, a single ramp. Reber was there. I said hello to him, and they did a little bit. It wasn't actually a contest. It was like a show. So they had like three shows, and they just kind of did like all their tricks. And I guess it was more of like this camaraderie style, but pushing each other, of course, because everyone's trying to progress. That's like the whole idea with the sport. But they have stages like this where they can come and practice, ride with guys who have more development talent, and kind of get some experience doing more events. And then you have opportunities like the Jump Park competition, or other Rocket Air competitions where you could also come in and try to up your game, roll with the big boys, and progress. So that's really cool to see.
Switzerland is on a really, really good way with contests and events, and Flying Metal crew do a lot in these sports and made one of the biggest slopestyle contests in Switzerland, like Rocket Air. But I don't know if Rocket Air happen anymore.
Yeah, it's yet to be seen, I guess. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
See if Rona lets us.
and there is a national dirt jump series with like three or four stops, and you can be a Swiss champ, and there is a lot in Switzerland, and we are maybe a good example for other countries.
Definitely.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, while I was on summer holiday in Davos, there was the Swiss dirt jump series, and I think also their main goal is to be a series for under 20 or under 21 riders, and so yeah, no, I think as you say, there's a lot of opportunities for younger riders, for riders that don't necessarily have the prestige of someone that has competed internationally and just wants to get started in the sport. And I think that's those opportunities, they are very, very important to develop a sport and provide a platform for kids and younger riders to progress.
Yeah, and for the riders made this contest experience. Yeah, it's super, super important to to learn it earlier, right, in contest, and be ready mental for the bigger ones later.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. All right, let's move over to today. So kind of, you know, of course, we talked about photography, we talked about traveling, we talked about Rampage, talked about Jump Park, Tilly Trails, FMB events, and all of that. But of course, you mentioned it earlier, you're working full time. And, you know, why don't we talk a little bit about that? So you currently work for Velo Solutions. So and I think you described, you when we pre-discussed the call, or our podcast today, you called yourself a trail architect. So why don't you talk a little bit about what you do for Velo Solutions?
Yes, I'm working for Velo Solutions, and I think the best job description is more not a trail architect, it's more like a bike park architect or pump track architect, because we don't really build so much trails, but we do a lot of pump tracks and skills parks and even trails. But yeah, but my official job description is a technical drawer, and I designing, planning, and do all the construction plans for the most of the projects from Velo Solutions all over the world. And
nice, drawing up stuff for other people to ride.
Yes.
Nice. What has been the coolest project so far you've been involved with, in terms of you know, let's say trail and the pump track?
There's a lot of really cool projects who was involved. Also, like Pump for Peace, who is something from Velo Solutions to support cycling or riding bikes in countries who are not have access to bikes and parks. And my favorite project is working on the Höckler Trail.
Ah.
It's maybe my best experience, and something that I learned a lot.
Okay. We talked previously with Greg Jolliffe. I'm sure you've listened to that conversation. It was quite interesting to hear all about the different challenges on the ground, let's say, with the, you know, building the trails. So maybe you could talk a little bit about the challenges with planning the trail and how that all went, and, you know, what were the most interesting stories with the Höckler Trail?
Good question. Yeah,
all,
it's
always
all of it. The whole project was a big challenge, but we learned a lot. No, it's Switzerland, and in Switzerland there is always a big process to build something on a mountain or in a forest, because of all these zones we have in Switzerland, like wildlife zones, natural safety zones, and yeah, really wet sections on the mountain. And yeah, you get a one corridor, and you have to make the best of this corridor. And yeah, this was a challenge to plan something who can make Greg something great about this planning. I don't know. And I had this rule, like, for like a project manager, and we had a lot of hikes on this mountain, and put the line in this mountain, and Greg and the whole crew with Maxim and Andre and more of the construction do a really, really great job at the end with the trail detail. Design.
Exactly. I would say Greg had the easy, he had the easy job, because he just, you know, you sorted out all the permissions and talking to all the stakeholders and where do we go? How do we get there? And what are we actually allowed to build? And he'd had to just come in and build the stuff and, check out again. See you later.
Yeah, so, we had a lot of hikes there with we call it peer group, with people from around Zurich who want to be involved. And we go to the mountain and pick up their feedback. And we had a lot of hikes with the wildlife guy, the forest guy, and to find a compromise where we can go down. And yeah, was a lot of work, but really lucky with how it works now.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, now it's now we are about 4 months after we recorded with Greg. Of course, the trail had to be fixed once or twice in the meantime. What is the feedback now? So, I mean, of course, it's pretty established now. I think there is a traffic light system in place for the different sections, for when it's too wet and the trail is at risk. How does it work today?
Yeah, it was a lot of rain, maybe not the best year for the first year of a fresh new trail, and we had some problems. Even one tree slide into a trail. And yeah, the feedback is different. A lot of people love it and some people hate it. And yeah, I think you can never do for everyone the right. And yeah, even one point is that we have around 10,000 people in Zurich who are riding bikes, and everyone have his own vision how to build a trail, or how they have to look and what they need. And yeah, but for me, I'm super happy. The most of the feedback that I heard is super positive, and there's still working on it and improve it and figure it out, this problems we have on the trail with like this tree or super wet section, or yeah, but we're working on it.
Speaking of Ellis Solutions, they're pretty much the name in pump tracks these days. So are you doing some pump track architecting?
Chris designing actually the most of the pump tracks, or in the beginning Claudio, and now Chris helped Claudio a lot with the designs, and my job is to more doing this other stuff around the pump tracks, to doing like stairs or something, and drawing all these plans of this pump tracks. And more Chris is more the designer of the tracks, and I'm more the designer of all the other things around.
Of everything else.
All of the technical side on that plans.
And you mentioned a bike park as well. Did you have any input in the Lenzerheide track?
We don't build Lenzerheide. This is Trailworks. No.
Oh, this is Trailworks. Okay.
Yes, but I think Greg built this new track.
The new kicker, yeah.
Yeah, but he at this time he works for Trailworks.
Ah, I see. Okay,
we work really near together and help out together. And Trailworks say we don't have someone who have experience with jumps like this. And Greg have, from his background in Whistler with Joyride, and have a lot of experience for jumps like this. And that's why we help Trailworks with this jump.
So where have you created some bike park tracks?
We have built bike park, the Swiss bike park, Oberried.
Right. So it all depends on what your definition of bike park is.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, it is a bike park. It's a bike, it's a jump park. But it also has a pump track. There's a cross-country trail. What other, what else is there?
There's an airbag.
Right.
a lot of skills area stuff to, mm-hmm. to learning, to give courses and teaching. And there's a big pump track, a small pump track, a velodrome, asphalted small jump line, wall rides and North Shores, rock gardens, drop battery.
The whole shebang.
I think there is...
So basically every Swiss national champion would have or is going to train there.
Yes.
In every discipline.
That's why Matt is so good. Because his sponsor have one of the biggest bike parks in his garden.
Maybe to wrap up the discussion on Velo Solutions and new trails and bike parks and jumps and stuff. What is in the future for you? What are you currently working on, if you can talk about it?
I'm definitely sure that I'm working on tons of more pump tracks.
Seems to be great business at the moment.
Yeah, it's super great. And it's also helpful really for the sport, because kids learning really fast riding bikes on the pump track. There is so many who is going on by Velo Solution, even with bigger projects all over the world, but I don't know how I can talk about or allowed to talk about.
Otherwise you'll have to kill us. So why don't we talk a little bit about your own riding? We are, after all, a podcast about mountain biking in Switzerland, and we like to explore that topic a little bit with our guests. I mean, we are, getting towards the end of our time, but before we wrap it up, I think we want to hear a little bit about what is your favorite riding here in Switzerland? Where do you like to ride the most?
I definitely ride the most the new Höckler Trail.
Naturally.
Naturally.
Yes, I really a fan of this trail, and I really like to riding in my new home area of Solothurn. There's a lot of to explore, a lot of new trails to explore, and really cool area to riding enduro, and also Davos. I really like Davos to riding bikes, and they're jumping in Jump Park.
Well, I guess with your work in Velo Solutions, you do get around Switzerland quite a bit, so you can explore these different areas. And I guess Solothurn is great, right? So we had a couple of guests from that region. I think Terence was the most vocal about his riding in the Jura, that part of the Jura region. So he's just a couple of towns over in Grenchen. But maybe if you have a guest from overseas, so someone that is not from Switzerland, and you have a couple of days to go ride, where would you take them?
Definitely to Höckler. to show later the Langstrasse. And then go up to Davos. I really like Davos trails. It's Davos and Höckler.
it's a nice combination. Like it.
Yeah. They fly most of the time anyway to Zurich. So you can start in Zurich, go on a trail, have a beer on Langstrasse, and then move to Davos and riding in the Swiss Alps and have fun.
And there you go. Then you have it all. You have it all.
Gets my approval.
Well, let's wrap it up with our world famous closeout questions, if that's okay for you. So our first question is, just talk us through that first bike that got you really stoked on riding.
Oh, I was super young, and it was a really old Wheeler hardtail. Oh, I start my cross-country career without fork.
Nice.
And my first mountain bike with fork was a Specialized, but I don't remember the name of this bike. It was a yellow black one, and with one of the first forks ever.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good times. Good memories. Imagine you're Harry Scedini and you're a bike magician extraordinaire, and you can make riding a bike more awesome for anyone by the stroke of a magic dropper post. What would you do?
Maybe a system to give aces to everyone who want ride a bike to get one. I don't know if that counts. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, maybe something you can have never a flat.
Oh, yeah. We're all waiting for that.
No. That's the wrong answer, by the way.
Okay.
Well, then Bryson doesn't have anything to tickle anymore.
Yeah, like I have no way to catch my breath, you know, take a break, let my muscles relax.
Pre-cramp.
But anyways, pre-cramp or post-cramp. Hey, Dominic, so maybe for the listeners who are not so familiar with dirt jumping, normally when your dirt jump bike, it doesn't have a front brake. Primarily the braking, the slowing down of the bicycle, is going to happen with the rear wheel. This is the only wheel. Yeah, this is quite typical for a dirt jump bike to only have one brake, and it's on the rear wheel. So for you to describe your best... or the best skid on a dirt jump bike using only a rear brake, how would you do that?
Yeah, go fast as you can and brake into the turn and skid in. I never try one with a dirt bike, but...
could be interesting.
Yeah, I have to test, and maybe I can tell you later. How they
exactly.
Work. No, I think you have to go in and brake and slide in and
foot out, flat out.
Yeah, flat out.
Both feet out. Trying to balance. Only one brake.
Exactly. Over the berm and out.
Yeah.
Right on.
Nice one. All right. Well, Dominic, thank you so much for your time and for sitting down with us tonight. This was really, really interesting. If listeners have some questions or want to learn more about you and what you're up to, where can they find you?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. And it was a funny evening. And if you want to see more from me, then you can find me on Instagram, on Dominic and _ Bosshard.
Nice. We'll be sure to put that into the show notes so people can find it. And with that, thanks again. This is really awesome. And
thanks,
Bryson.
Cheers.
Cheers, guys. Have a good evening.
Cheers. Thanks a lot.
Bye.